For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 28th, 1997. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the morning. We'll just turn the rest of the morning over to him.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. I stand here now, Lord, and I say, come, Lord Jesus. For Jesus is the wisdom of God and the strength of God. And give us divine wisdom, Lord, as we approach this time of teaching from your word. Lord, just come, Lord. Let your anointed word go forth, Lord. It'll touch the hearts of your people, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for coming, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for coming to save us from our sins, Lord God. And to be our big brother, Lord, and to adopt us into the family of God. For paying the price for us, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. It says in chapter 8, verse 19, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Anytime anyone comes and teaches you and offers you a teaching that does not agree, that they can't find more than one scripture, if they can't find scripture that agrees both in the word and the spirit and the context with what they're teaching, it is because there is no light in them. Run to the nearest door. Don't walk. Run, because a dump truck's about to unload. You will find people that will tell you that this is a deep teaching and only a few of you will be able to comprehend this. And then they will proceed to teach you out of the principles of men. And they will talk to you about psychology. And they will talk to you about science and about genetic codes and about all sorts of things. And what do you say to them? You say the same thing Paul said to them. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. However, we speak of wisdom among those who mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God, the mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I'm going down to verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit teaches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Yet we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words of man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. When I hear preachers talk about the unconscious mind and start using psychological terms, I realize that suddenly that this man has moved away from the gospel. It has been shown that if you have people who will sit under the teaching of this Word of God and apply it to their lives conscientiously, and they have good people around them who will hold them accountable, to whom they are accountable, and they will conscientiously supply the Word of God to their life, their problems will change. They will be freed from their problems. They will be cured. The Spirit of the Lord will cure them. Why do you think psychiatrist practices get full? Now, what is a psychiatrist? Psychiatrist, psycho, in the Greek, means soul. IT and the rest of it means doctor of. A psychiatrist is the doctor of the soul, as described by the meaning of the word. And he ministers to the soul. And he ministers to the soul, and he gives them rules and things that they should do. And he ministers to the, and he gives them the things their itching ears want to hear. But these things are no good against the indulgence of the flesh. And these people, they get better for a while, but then they fall back into old patterns, and so they have to go back into the psychiatrist and get a retread. And so after a psychiatrist has been in practice about 5 years, he's got a bunch of folks that are going out and coming back in. He can't take any more because he's taking care of the people that now, and he's taking care of all these retreads coming back. Nobody ever seems to ever get well. Thank God in Jesus Christ, there's freedom and there's healing. There's freedom and there's healing. I didn't mean to get up here now and pick on psychiatrists. I get very upset with Christian counselors who do not tell people they need to repent of their sin. They do not have to repent and turn away. They don't have to forgive those people who've hurt them. Most counselors tell people, help people justify their anger and justify their unforgiveness and justify the way they feel. Help them rationalize it and understand it and make them feel right about the fact that they hate their father, they hate their mother, or they hate their neighbor, and they hate their boss. Jesus Christ says you have to forgive.
Yes.
And pray for them that they might be healed. And when you pray for them, you get healed. That's what the Word of God says. As long as you hate them and hold unforgiveness in your heart, you get separated from God. And these poor counselors, they don't understand. They want to be popular. They want to make their people feel good. And they want to be accepted. They got problems. They're afraid these people are going to reject them if they call them to the truth. And maybe their practice won't be quite so full, and they won't be able to pay their bills and live as well as they want to live. I don't know. I don't want to say that. But sometimes you wonder. But the truth is, and maybe they just don't know. But I see people who are Christian. I had a young man and woman got married in the church, and the man began to have second thoughts about the marriage. It was a wonderful lady he was married to. They got married rather fast. I wish they had taken a little more time, but then they didn't ask me. But they did come to me for, the woman did come to me for counseling. Her husband went to a Christian counselor. And his sister and his wife go to this Christian counselor. The Christian counselor said, yeah, you can get a divorce. God's forgiven. He'll forgive you. You think you made a mistake? Well, just counsel it out. God's a forgiving God. He'll forgive you. What kind of Christian counselor is that?
Right, brother.
But that's what we got. They call themselves Christian. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, where are we going with this? Hallelujah. Today I was going to talk to you about religious spirits. And God wanted me to say this. That life is hard. God said, Paul said, that in this life you will have tribulation.
Yes.
And that all who desire to live godly lives will have tribulation. But he said, Jesus said, you will have tribulation in this world, but I have overcome the world. And through me you can overcome the world. You can overcome the tribulation. He said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll always be with you. And he said, I will carry you through the tribulation if you will lean solely on me. I will pick you up and I will carry you through it. What did he say in Isaiah 44? Let's look at it. Isaiah 43:1, he said, but thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's a promise. And that was written to the people of Israel, promising them restoration for that time. And it was written for us in the future who are the Israel of God today.
And it says to you, look at what it says. It says, I know your name. Did you know that the devil didn't even know your name before you got saved? You were a prisoner of war. You had a number. You were in a jailhouse. Now let's look at that. Let's keep your finger here in Isaiah, and let's go over to Luke, chapter 4. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Chapter 4, verse 18. This is Jesus' commission. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Captives. That word means a prisoner taken at the point of the sword, a prisoner of war. You are all involved in a war, whether you know it or not. And you were prisoners of war in the devil's jailhouse. And the devil didn't even know your name. He gave you a number. And you were held captive to do his will. Let's look at, keep your finger in Isaiah, and let's go to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:25, 26. And here Paul's talking, just start with 24 to get the context. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in rebellion. If perhaps God will grant them repentance so they may come to know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Before you were saved, when you were a child of wrath in rebellion, the devil had you in his jailhouse and he could do with you as he saw fit, according to the spiritual laws that God had laid down. But when you were saved and you were called out, God said, I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, when Jesus opened the jailhouse door and your eyes were opened and you walked out of that jailhouse and God called you by name, suddenly the devil knew your name too. Because I can tell you, when you get a personal God, you get a personal devil. You're not a number to the devil anymore. You're an individual. And he assigns people, he assigns forces to follow you around, to report on you. And as long as you are saved, but you just sit in a carnal church and just come on Sunday once a week and come out and you go in and they have a praise service, and you hold your hands up, and you hear the Holy Goosebumps, and you dance around a little bit. Oh, Jesus! And you go out and tell everybody what a wonderful service we had and how the Spirit moved. And then you have to put your suit off, and you hang it up in the closet, and you hang up Jesus in there with that Sunday go-to-meeting suit, that marrying and bearing suit that you wear, till next Sunday. The devil's not going to really torment you a great deal. You're not a threat to him. They did a survey on people. You know, 40% of this nation claims to be born again. 40%. And so the advertiser said, you know, if 40% of the people are reborn Christians, we need to know how to address this reborn Christian market. We need to know how to tailor our advertising to meet these reborn Christians' needs so they will buy the products. And you know what they found out? They didn't need to change advertising at all. Well, the reborn Christians respond to the same advertising the world responds to. So the carnal people respond to. That's because most of them are hanging their religion up. They're just hanging it up and then they're moving in the world. Now, if you're that kind of Christian, the devil, he'll torment you a little bit. He's got you. He'll sick you into sin and pull you into bondage again and get you full of demons. But if you, by chance, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and get committed to God, the devil will draw a circle around your name. Because once you move into the spiritual realm, you become dangerous to him. You see, everything, if you look at the tabernacle, you remember that in the outer court, where the praisers stood, where most of the people stood, everything was discerned by senses. But where the real transactions occurred was in the tabernacle where the Holy Spirit was. It was lit by the light of the Holy Spirit. It was dark in there except for the light of the Holy Spirit. And everything inside the tabernacle was spiritually discerned. Now, a carnal Christian cannot spiritually discern. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you get your spiritual eyes open, then it's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Yes.
You become a threat to the enemy. Then you can pray and you can approach the throne of grace and you can come into God's presence. And if you get in deliverance, he puts a big star and a big X and says this one. Because suddenly you're pulling his kingdom down. Because his kingdom is a kingdom dependent upon demon power. His kingdom is dependent upon the demon power. The demons are spirits that move around you and bring you into seduction. The spirits that move through the, when you lean on your flesh and lie to you and seduce you and draw you in. They work through the soul. Through the soul. You know what? You heard of soulish prayers. Well, soulish prayers. Nobody has ever heard of soulish prayers. Anybody ever heard of a soulish prayer? Well, keep your finger on Isaiah 43. Let's go to James. And let's look at a soulish prayer. Let's go to James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual. That word sensual there is demonic, is soulish. It's psycho-ish. It's soulish. Now, Derek Prince says that word should be translated soulish. Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. And so that's a soulish prayer. When you're praying with envy or selfish ambition in your heart. Now, envy, of course, is idolatry. That's wishing you had something somebody else had.
Right.
Or worshiping something and wanting something that's not yours and being jealous for it. And for selfish ambition, that's to elevate yourself, self, soulish. And that is a soulish prayer, and it has demonic power behind it. Well, how much demonic power does it have? Just as much as the devil wants to give it. Just as much as he wants to give it. Soulish powers, prayers, have force. They are better known as witchcraft. Anytime you attempt to control the actions of another person, that's witchcraft. To impose your will on another person, that's witchcraft. It's a soulish prayer. It has demonic force behind it. Well, let's go back to Isaiah 43. He says, who formed you, O Israel? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. What does that mean? I prayed on that and God said, well, I told you that when you walk through the river, the water would not overcome you. But I did not say that the water wouldn't swirl up around your neck and you wouldn't feel the current pulling at your feet. And so when you go through troubles and you keep your eyes firmly fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll carry you through it. When you're going through tribulation and you're depending on him. But he says sometimes there are going to be tribulations that things aren't going to look very good. And when you go through the fire, he didn't say you wouldn't get hot. He didn't say you wouldn't feel the heat. Now, most of the people, you know, it says in Romans 12, it says, offer yourself a living sacrifice on the altar. Well, you know, on the altar, there's a little fire. And most folks, when they get on the altar, when they feel the heat, they want to get off.
Uh-huh.
But God wants you to change. He wants you to be metamorphosized. Let's look at Romans 12. Let's go. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That you be conformed, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. God doesn't want you to be conformed to the world, but he wants you to be transformed. And that word transformed is metamorphosized. The changing of the caterpillar into the butterfly. Today I say to you that you need to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is your all in all. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider.
He is Jehovah Shalom, your peace. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Jehovah Rona, your shepherd, your righteousness. You lean totally on him. Now, this, I've always heard about religious spirits. And I've seen Pharisee spirits, and I call that Pharisee spirits and ecclesiastical spirits. But I never really made a study of them. Last October, I was asked to give a presentation on religious spirits. And I began to pray, and I said, God, if they're religious spirits, there ought to be something about it in the Bible. And as I was praying about it, what he said to me was that whenever people begin to lose their anointing for whatever reason, then one of two things happens. They become very legalistic, and they lean on the legalism, or they become very liberal, and they lean on the law of liberty. And so I begin to look in the Bible for these things. And I found a lot. Let's look first at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Here Paul has spoken to the Corinthian church, and he says, if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Now, I want you to notice he speaks of another Jesus. Well, another Jesus is a religious spirit. Do you know the Mormons have another Jesus? They have a Jesus. And they're trying to become respectable, and they wish to pass themselves off. Now, 30 years ago, the Mormons were considered a cult. Now they wish to pass themselves off as just another branch of the Christian church. And the Mormon missionaries who come to your door will tell you they're Christians, that they worship Jesus. They are the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. And I say to them that they worship another Jesus. They worship some Jesus that was off on some other planet. And he was a real good person. And he followed all the rules just right. And he got elevated to be a god. And then he came to this planet. Did y'all know that? And they believe that as God is, you will be. And as you are, God once was. That God was just once a man who just kept all the rules and did everything just right. And he became God. And they promise their people they will become gods if they keep all the rules and do everything. And you have very, very good people who try very, very hard to keep all those rules. And when a young child becomes of age, he's taken to the stake patriarch. Now, the Mormons divide an area into wards, and they have a church, and it's called a ward house. And there's so many wards make a stake. In the stake, they have a patriarch. It's an older gentleman, generally. And the patriarch lays hands on these children and prays for them and prophesies over them. Now, this prophecy is recorded, written out, and given to this child to guide his life, the rest of his life. But more importantly, when the patriarch lays his hands on them, he imparts into them a religious spirit, a spirit of another Jesus that binds them to that church. And for a Mormon to get free, really free, they have to write the church and request that their name be removed from the rolls. Otherwise, they're bound there. That is a tie back into their soul. They have to renounce it and renounce that spirit. But it's a spirit, it's a religious spirit of another Jesus, and is imparted into them by the laying on the hands of the patriarch. Then they go through all kinds of rituals in which more religious spirits, they worship the dead. They are out doing all types of genealogy to get all their dead relatives who are sitting up in heaven looking down, hoping, waiting, and perhaps that this one will, that somebody will find their name on the books and baptize them in so they can come on into heaven. And these numbers of unbaptized relatives are recorded, and when they found enough of them, they've done just right, then they're entitled to temple worship, to temple work, and then they're carried into the temple and given the secret passwords and the secret oaths and taken through the rituals and so forth, and the man is given them a secret name to call his wife out of the grave and all sorts of stuff. And then they are allowed to have a celestial marriage in the temple in which they're married celestially forever. But they impart another Jesus. Now let's come on down over here to verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers,
transforming themselves into an apostle of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ is Michael the Archangel. That's another Jesus spirit. You also receive a false Jesus spirit if you go forward into and get baptized in the Jehovah's Witness group. And these people work very hard. They're hard-working people because they're earning their way to heaven. There are certain churches, Christian churches, that read from the Bible and teach you that, we'll get into that in a few minutes. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. And what happened in Galatia? Some Pharisees came down and said that, yes, Jesus is a Savior. But if you really want to be saved, you got to do these other things too. You got to be circumcised and you got to follow the law of Moses. And Paul got so upset with them when he wrote this letter, if you read it, he didn't pray for them. You know, he always took time in his other letters to thank God for these people and to pray for them and to thank God for them. But he didn't do that for the Galatians. He said, verse 6, I marvel you are turning away so soon from him who called you into grace of Christ to a different gospel. And so here we have Pharisee spirits. Galatians 4:3. Let's go to 4:3 now. Even so, when we were children, we were under bondage to the elements of the world. Now, what does elements mean? Well, the word used there for elements in the Greek was the same word used for the fire, wind, earth, and water. Those four things. And those were the four primeval elements in the ancient world. And they all had gods that moved them and protected them and so forth, and everybody prayed to these gods. They were in bondage to these gods. Bondage to the things that move the earth, move the wind, move the fire and the water. Now, how many of y'all have heard about praying to Mother Earth? And, you know, I mean, you go into some of these nice churches and they're praying to Mother Earth. And they're praying it and they're saying, oh God, we have defiled this planet and we've done this terrible thing and we've hurt Mother Earth who's given us life. And so you have a religious spirit of Mother Earth coming in. People used to pray to the gods that control the wind and the weather and the rain. Okay, so he said they were in bondage to those things. Okay, let's look at verse 9. And after you have known God, or rather known by God, that you turn again to the beggarly elements in which you desire to be drawn into bondage. You observe days and months and seasons. What's that mean? All of these gods that control the weather had festivals. The god of the winter had a festival 2 days after the winter solstice. That's on the 25th of December. The sun god had a great god because he was coming out of his death. There's a god that had a festival on May Day. And the goddess who had there was a goddess who had a festival on the spring equinox. And it brought life, and it was symbolized by a bunny and eggs. And his name's Esther. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, but these are all religious spirits. These are all religious spirits that were creeping back in as people began to worship, turn back to the worship of elements, and be drawn into bondage. Now, they were given a Christian veneer. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating Jesus' birthday on 25th, if you want to, as long as you realize you're celebrating Jesus' birthday. And it's not some man who lived over there some time back who's long since dead, who's supposed to know everything and knows when you've been good or bad and come down the chimney all over the world at the same time and leave everybody gifts all at the same time and reward you according to your works. Now, if you fall into that trap, then you're worshiping a foreign god. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I tell people I don't believe in lying to children. I don't think you should lie about Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, or the Tooth Fairy. I just don't believe that you ought to lie to children. Now, I tell people that in my pediatric practice. I gotta get some eyebrows raised sometimes. But I think that you should be absolutely honest. There's sometimes when it's best to say that sometimes they say, well, what if they name some situation that obviously you wouldn't want to tell a child? I say, well, I just tell them I'm not going to discuss that with you. And they say, why? You say, because I'm mama and I know what's best. And God put me in charge of the family, and that's, we're not going to talk about that because that doesn't concern you. And you don't have to give an answer. That's the answer that you give them. That's none of your business. Praise you, Lord Jesus. All right, and so they added to God's word to obtain justification. They added seasons and months, and they began celebrating new moons, and they went back into circumcision. And this all upset Paul because these were, and that was a Pharisee spirit. Now let's look at Colossians. Colossians 2:8. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and evil deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Now, that's what I was talking to you about when we first started. Traditions of men and the basic and wisdom not from God to the basic principles. Now, that same word there is used over there as elements of this world, not according to Christ. That word principle is the same one used in Galatians as elements. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise you, Lord. And the basic principles of this world. Now, you have to realize that in Colossae, there was a Greek, there was a Roman god named Celibus, and a husband, Atissus, that were worshipped. It was a cult. And they worshipped by, and their worship was characterized by rituals of cleaning with the bull's blood, ecstatic prophecy, inspired dancing, and ecstatic falling out, rapture. Now, you know, you can go to a lot of Pentecostal churches and you see all that going on, folks dancing in the Spirit, you know, and giving inspired prophecy and falling out under the Spirit. And all of it can be of God, but a lot of it isn't. And lots of pastors will not discern the Spirit because they don't want to hurt the people. They'll sit there and let somebody get up, prophesy week after week after week out of a false spirit and never correct them because they don't want to discourage the people. They don't want to hurt anybody. But they grieve in the Holy Spirit. And they wonder why the Holy Spirit doesn't move in their church. Now, out of this grew up a heresy known as Montanism, which contained all of these things. And it'd take me 2 hours to talk about that. But I want you to see that these are religious spirits. Now, let's look at Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Now, that's a Pharisee spirit. A Pharisee spirit will take the word and cut you to death with it. And so you didn't do this, this, and this. And so you've got somebody who is very legalistic and very judgmental and lies. He will puff up things in his fleshly mind that he has, quote, seen unseen and relate them to you. And he's an ecclesiastical spirit, a Pharisee spirit. Let's look at Colossians 2:18. Defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, puffed up vainly by his fleshly mind. And what happens is that this man may or may not have a vision. The New International leaves out the word not. But this man may or may not have had some sort of vision, you know, and then he puffs it up. And when someone tells them, you hear them get to talking, and they start talking about visions they've had, and this one will tell one, and then this one over here will tell one to top that one, and over yonder you'll get another one. These things are being puffed up fleshly. And if you want to attract a crowd, you're going to charismatic church, you want to attract a crowd, you just talk about seeing angels. Man, everybody will gather around. You want to talk about this spiritual dream you had. Everybody will gather and hear what you've got to say. Well, this experience, this out-of-body experience you had when you went up to see Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I mean, folks just gather around and just listen. And this ecclesiastical spirit is just adding to it. This is an ecclesiastical spirit. This is a Pharisee spirit. Now, these people, with the Pharisee spirit comes anger and rage. You see, some of these people, they get judgmental and they get angry. They get righteous indignation. And they get witchcraft. They want to control the whole church. And when somebody confronts them, Bob Mumford tells of a man like this on his board, that no one had ever met. He was a physician who contributed a fair amount of money to the church. He was and he could give the most beautiful religious prayers when you called on him in church. But when things didn't go his way in the meeting, he would sit there and he would argue and argue and argue and put people down until people gave him his way. And so Brother Mumford said that he had confronted him once, and he said, "Brother Smith, why is it every time the vote doesn't go your way, you start to whine and cry and you get angry, and then if it does, you don't get your way, you get angry and mad?" And the man was holding three pistols, and he broke up like this, turned around and said, "It's righteous indignation," and beat the desk. And everybody gave him his way, and he said, after his one temple, said, "No one ever confronted that man. The demon controlled the church." But this man, through religious posturing, was considered to be a very religious man. God save me from being religious. Oh, God. Hallelujah. So, ecclesiastical spirit. Colossians spirit, they have a lying spirit. Let's look at Colossians 2:8. We read that, and it says, and that's an antichrist spirit. An antichrist, the word antichrist means instead of Christ. It doesn't mean against Christ, it means instead of Christ. And whenever anybody offers you a different Jesus, or offers you wisdom of the world rather than the Word, you know the devil is a very reasonable, practical fellow. Don't know that? The devil is a very reasonable, practical fellow. I've seen people get healed. I mean a miracle healing. Oh, death ears. I saw a man's death ears were open. And he went back and sat down. And the friends came up to him and said, "Now, come on now. Let's be reasonable and practical. Now, let's be reasonable. Be practical." And they talked that man out of his hearing.
Right.
They talked him out of his miracle. Derek Prince and Oral Roberts did a survey about 20 years ago of how many people retain their miracle healing after they left the meeting. Now, I had and they said after 1 year, only 25% of them maintained their healing. Yesterday, I had a young lady that wrote me over Thanksgiving, and she was in college, and she said that she would like to follow me around in my office for a few days to see if she wanted to be a pediatrician or not. And I recognized the name. I thought I knew her, and I dashed off a note to her and said yes and mailed it. And said, "Come on in, and we'll see what we can work out." Well, when she got there, it wasn't the girl I thought it was. It was the same name, but it was a different person. But she seemed like a very sweet young lady. And I talked to her, and I asked if she knew Jesus Christ. And she told me that she was a baptized member of a certain denomination, and then she, you know, that she was a member in good standing. And I said, "That's fine. I didn't ask you about your church membership. I asked you if you knew Jesus Christ. Do you know him?" And she began to hem and haw, and I asked her, I said, "Do you know a supernatural God?" And she said, "Oh, come on now, nobody really believes in the supernatural." I said, "Well," so I gave her my eyewitness to her. When I graduated from college, you know the only true science is math. That's the only true science. 2 and 2 is always 4. It won't ever be anything else. In physics, in chemistry, in biology, everything can be reduced to a mathematical formula. And when you get above a level 400 course in college, it's all math in the sciences. And you can have it either as biology, chemistry, physics, or math. Quantum mechanics can be either physics, chemistry, or math. Physical chemistry can be either physics, chemistry, or math. It's all mathematics. It all comes together at the top of the pyramid. And when I came out of college, I thought I could have had a degree in either physics or math or biology or chemistry. Didn't make any difference. I had the courses. I had all the basic courses. And so I came out of college, I thought you could put Jesus Christ, I thought you could put God in a mathematical formula. And when I got saved, when I met the Lord Jesus Christ when I was in 1938, when I was 38 years old, not 1938, when I was 38 years old, I thought that God surely would not violate any of the laws that he'd set in power to govern the universe. He would not violate the law of gravity. He wouldn't violate the law of cellular growth or cellular flux or multiplication. I mean, those things are all mathematically determined on how fast they can occur. Depends on a number of variable factors, but there are laws governing that. Well, I saw somebody, a man named Adrian Savinsky, got out and prayed for a little girl who had polio, and her leg was about this shorter than the other one and about half the size, and he held it up and prayed about 2 minutes, and said, zoop, zoop, and it was the same size, you know. And I was standing right there looking at it, and it changed my theology. I mean, I had an instant change of theology. And so I witnessed this to this young lady, and she looked at me like, what kind of nut have I got myself hooked up with? And the Pepsi man came by, the man who services our Pepsi machine, and he says, Doc, I hate to bother you, but everybody else's office is closed today but yours. And he said, I fell yesterday. I got this horrible pain in my ribs. I think I've broken some of them. And I raised this arm like this. It's a new experience in pain. And he said, I've got to be able to lift up and put things in those machines today. And he was crying. He said, I just can't make it. He said, can you give me something for pain? Can you help me? I said, man, you're in a pediatrician's office. You're too old for me. And I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, personal Savior? And he pulled his dress. I said, you're talking to a man who's married to a Baptist preacher's daughter. I said, I didn't ask you about your wife's salvation. I want to know if you know Jesus. And he said, yes, I do know Jesus as my personal Savior. And he gave me his testimony when he met Jesus. I said, fine. I put my hand on him and I said, Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, surely you've borne all of his infirmities and all of his sorrows and all of his sickness and all of his pain. You were wounded for his transgressions, bruised for his iniquities, and the chastisement of his peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes at the whipping post, he has been healed. I said, lift your arm up. He said, whoa, man. I said, hurt? He said, hurt a little bit right here. I said, well, let's get that second part back there in the name of Jesus. And he said, man, it's gone. It's gone. I said, fine. I looked at the girl. I said, is that enough supernatural for you, child? And she went back like this, and she said, well, you know, I don't feel very good. Said, you want me to pray for you? No. I think I'm going to go home. And she left. I thought she was going, you know, I was getting ready to get a trash can for her because I saw surely she's going to vomit up all those demons. Huh? I don't know when I get back, but I get back next Tuesday. Next week from now, she's supposed to be in my office in a couple more days. I don't know whether I'll see her or not. That's the power. That's the power of a living God. Now, she had a God that has no power or does not have. I mean, she has a God that she has an intellectual God. And so a spirit of intellectualism, the Antichrist spirit can be an intellectual spirit. And the devil is a very reasonable fellow, intellectual person. And he will appeal to your pride and to your instinct and to your intellect. And you will accept, and you can accept an Antichrist spirit when you do this. And when you do, you'll have trouble reading the Word of God. You'll have trouble understanding it. It'll be a difficult book. It'll be hard to read. It doesn't seem to make sense to you. And you just have trouble doing it. You have trouble praying. You don't have trouble going to church and sitting in church, that church. But you have trouble with the things of God where you meet God. Now, an Antichrist spirit, we talked about angels. Where did it say here? Yep, verse 18. That no one affords you taking delight in false humility, worship of angels, intruding the things that you have not seen. How many folks pray for guardian angels to come? Pray to the angels. Some churches do that. How many of them pray to dead folks? You got a statue of a dead, but he died 200 years ago. But they want him to intercede for them. Let's keep your finger in. Let's go to 1 Timothy, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God, the man, Christ Jesus. That's what it says. Now, it says that in the St. Joseph translation, in the American translation, in the New World translation. Now, those are in all the other translations. That's what it says. There is only, and I... People tell you that they are praying to this statue over here to intercede for them or some dead person. You need to point that out to them in their Bible and have them get their Bible and open it and read it and say, there it is. That person's dead. You're not supposed to pray to the dead.
Right.
That's the only person you're supposed to pray to is Jesus Christ. He's a man and he's alive. He's been raised from the dead. Now, there is a church that has a doctrine saying that Mary, the mother of Jesus, ascended into heaven. On the third day, the apostles all gathered around the grave, and she came up out of the grave, and the angels came and carried her off bodily to heaven, where she remains now as
Mary Queen of the Universe. It ain't in him, folks. It was a vision a man had when he less than 100 years ago. The mother baby symbol has been worshipped since the days of Babylon and before. It's all in the Greek religions. It was worshipped in Nineveh, worshipped in Babylon. It's a Babylonian religion to worship the mother child. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think that Mary and Joseph were great people of faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for such great people of faith. A young girl was told she was going to become pregnant out of wedlock, which could cause her to be stoned. And she had to go tell her husband that she... we say husband, the person to whom she was betrothed, which was her husband. The Jewish wedding custom was... How many of y'all know the Jewish wedding custom? Okay, the Jewish wedding custom was, first there was the contract. The parents contracted the wedding. And Hebrew, okay. Praise God, Hebrew. The Hebrew wedding custom. The parents contracted the wedding when the children were very small. This could be broken without difficulty. There was some difficulty in breaking it, but it was not a hard thing to do. Then came the betrothal. When they became of age, then came the betrothal. This was a religious ceremony that was as binding as marriage. They were called husband, because if you'll notice in Luke, it said that Joseph took his wife, his betrothed, and he's called her husband. But they had no sexual union until the actual wedding, which came about a year after the betrothal. But the betrothal could only be broken by a divorce. You remember that Joseph was going to put her away quietly. He was going to divorce her quietly so they wouldn't stone her. Great woman of faith. Joseph had great faith to accept this and go to a religious family to send her to the king and say, my wife is pregnant by the Holy Ghost and she's going to have a child that's going to be the Savior. And it's God's will for me to marry her. Praise the Lord. And then they got up, got on a donkey and rode off into Egypt in the middle of the night. And stayed there and came back. Great people of faith. And may God honor them. But they're not mediators between you and God.
Right.
And that is an Antichrist spirit. And it's a spirit of serious error today. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, and so much for adding to. You see, he said in 2 Corinthians, he said, that,
dear Lord, have I talked this long? Well, you don't know how much more material I've got on.
No, Ray, I'm going enough for 3 hours. Praise you, Lord. I think we will look at the Thessalonians, and then we will talk about how they come in some other time. So then Paul said, the law of liberty. Now, James 3 talks about the law. I'll give you these verses. Look at James 1:25 and 2:12. He talks about the perfect law of liberty. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 1 Corinthians 8:9, he says, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Now, people, that's dangerous. And there's simplicity in Jesus Christ, and there's liberty. For Jesus Christ was the end of the law as a means of gaining righteousness. You hear people say, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. I want to keep that. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. And you say, well, what do you mean you're under grace? They have the vaguest idea. They don't have the vaguest idea that that's just a buzzword. That's grace means they can do what they want to. That's what it means. I said, no, that doesn't mean that. He says, let's look at that. And let's look at Romans 6:14. That's where it says. That's what they quote. And then we'll go to another verse. Romans 6:14. He says, you shall, for sin shall have not dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace.
And it said anybody who's under the law is under a curse. And the law leads you into sin. And you're not under sin, you're not under the law, you're not under sin. The law was given so you could see how bad you were. For as many as under the law are under a curse. But you're not under the law, you're under grace. Well, let's look at Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You cannot become righteous before God keeping the law. Keeping law. The "the" is added by the translators. Keeping law. Whether it's the Catholic law, the Episcopal law, the Methodist law, the Pentecostal law. Pentecostals have a law. I mean, the most rigorous legalist in the 40s were the Pentecostals. The Mennonite law, the Nazarene law. I mean, all these churches, they got a rule book. And they got a law. You cannot become righteous before God keeping a law because you can't keep it. You become righteous before God as a gracious gift of God. The gift of righteousness, the grace-free grace gift of righteousness to him who believes. Now, what does believe mean? It means that's the verb form of to have faith in Jesus Christ. To lean solely upon, believe, lean solely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you are saved and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then by grace, God gives you righteousness before him. But that is not the end of the law as a way of conduct, of knowing God's will, because the book says the law is perfect. The problem is so perfect you and I can't keep it. And says you have liberty. Well, now, there was a certain great outpouring of the Spirit back in the 50s, and this group decided that they had the law of liberty and they could swap wives. And all the preachers began showing up at the meetings with young wives. I mean, these old 60, 70-year-old men had 20-year-old women. I mean, the law of liberty. Get rid of our old one and get a new one. Needless to say that it fell into error. And it gave Pentecost a bad name. Let's look at Galatians 5:13 when we talk about the law of liberty. Some of the error that comes in with the law of liberty. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brothers, have been called to liberty. Only don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Jude 4. Jude's rightful revelation. Jude 4 said, "For certain men crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our Lord into licentiousness and denied the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, licentiousness, what in the world is that? That is sin multiplied on top of sin. And it says, "But you want us to go do it?" So I don't know how. Well, come on, I'll show you. That's what it means. It is an absolute depravity. Don't turn the grace of God into a license to be depraved. And the sin of depravity can come in. And look at 1 Peter 2:16. Here you'll find the false prophets, false teachers were coming in. Let's look at 5. Let's start back at verse 13 to get the context. "Therefore, submit to every ordinance of man for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, and is free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Don't lose your liberty as a cloak for vice, to be rebellious, to be backbiters, to be gossipers, malingerers. Well, now, Paul wrote the Thessalonian church, too. One of the first, we think that he either wrote the Galatians first or the Thessalonians first. I always believe he wrote Thessalonians first and Galatians after that, but You can support either argument. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Now, you remember that Paul had gotten to Corinth, and Peter and Timothy had come back from the Galatian church, which they had to leave rather hurriedly. They actually got run out of town by the sheriff. And Paul wanted to know how those people would be doing under persecution. And so he sent Timothy back, and Timothy came back and said they were doing real well. And the first three chapters, he thanks them for being so well and doing so good and not giving in to tribulation and not turning back. But then he comes to chapter 4. He said, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Now, you got to understand that in these cults that were in Thessalonia, fornication was part of the temporal practice of rituals. They supported their churches through the use of zealots, which were temple prostitutes. They were called priestesses, you understand. But actually, you went over to the temple and you made an offering to the god. That was the way you paid them. And Paul says that you should refrain. He's got some of those people have been going back around. It's all right, you know. This is what we've always done. And some of those people were slipping back into going over. And so he said that you should abstain from immorality. Each one should know how to possess his own vessel and sanctification and honor. Not in the past passion of lust like the heathen who don't know God. And that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother. That means that maybe there was something going on in the church, too. You know? In this manner, because the Lord is avenger of all such as we forewarned and testified. Therefore, he who rejects us does not reject man, but God who has given us his Holy Spirit. And then he comes on down and said, you should aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your hands, and to walk properly towards those on the outside that you may lack nothing. So he's saying, by God, you're supposed to... Not only you're not supposed to be messing around like that, you're supposed to be working with your hands, minding your own business, and sharing with others. And being a good example, when people look at you, they say, those Christians have got something. I want it. Okay. And so then he had to write them again. Timothy went back, took that letter back, came back, and so he sent him another letter. And in this letter, you know, he talked about some other things about the time after death and so forth and second coming. But at the end down here, in verse 3, chapter 6, he says, we command you, brother, man, that everyone you withdraw from everybody who walks disorderly. In other words, if some of those old boys are still being disobedient, you withdraw from them. And he said, if anybody doesn't work, don't feed them. Now, I always thought John Smith said that to the colonists, that that's where that came from. But I found John had got it out of the Bible. If anyone does not work, neither shall he eat. And we hear some of you are going about and working, not working at all, but are busybodies going around gossiping. And so those are religious spirits, the spirit of laziness. Now, some folks get so spiritual, they're supposed to pray all the time, and they think that somebody else will support them. Or they lose their job, and they sit there, and they're waiting to hear from God. But they sit there and they want the church to pay their house rent and pay their car bills and everything else while they sit and wait on God. And they wait on God. And they wait on God. 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Well, I always figured they could be flipping, if nothing else, they could be flipping burgers over at McDonald's and waiting on God. I think if they sit next to the heat there a little bit, you know, and sweat a little bit, you know, they might hear God a little bit better. Yeah. But they don't ask for me. They send the pastor to ask for money for the love fund. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Pastor, he's pretty tough, too, though. He makes them mow the lawn and get out and work to get money, if they're able-bodied. I'm not talking about single mothers who have children who are having real problems. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about able-bodied men who sit on their fanny and no job's ever just right. You get them one job, or something wrong with that one. You get them this job, something wrong with that one. And they got spirit of laziness. Sloth, I think, is a biblical term for it. But those are religious spirits. That's a religious spirit. That's a spirit that tells him he doesn't have to work. He's on the law of liberty, the liberty spirit, the ecclesiastical spirit that brings him into worship, the Antichrist spirit that brings him into worship other things. And with the Pharisee spirit, the judgmental spirit, the legalistic spirit that causes people to get angry and mad at other people and to judge other people and point the finger at them and talk about them, and the spirit of gossip comes in. Those are religious spirits that come in. Praise the Lord. Now, there are other religious spirits I have not touched on. I can sit here and talk for another 2 hours about this. But a careful reading of the Word will show you where Paul corrected the churches. And he gave them an outline for holy living. And then he talked to them about carnality. In Corinthians, he says, there's strife among you. As pride has come in. Ecclesiastical spirit will make you real proud. So will Pharisee spirit. Pride has come in. So I think that what we'll do, and we'll all stand up and stretch. It is said that the panic and that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. And everybody been sitting a while. Everybody hold up their hands and praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Okay. Everybody jump up and down and get your blood circulating, because the Lord, when he told me that he would allow me to teach, but he didn't want me just giving religious lectures. That when we get through talking, that we should minister and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. So let's sit down. Most of you were raised in religious tradition. Most of you were raised in religious tradition. And because of that, you received religious spirits. Methodist spirits, Episcopal spirits, Catholic spirits, Assembly of God spirits, Pentecostal spirits, Nazarene spirits. It all came in with this rule book that you tried to keep. Or didn't try to keep. And then other religious spirits come in. After you come into Pentecost, the enemy is always looking for an opportunity to lead you astray, to touch you with an evil spirit, to touch you in deception. How many of y'all are deceived? I've never had anybody hold up their hands and say, yeah, I'm deceived. Because when you're deceived, you think you're right. The enemy has blinded your eyes and you can't see that you're deceived. But he will deceive you in an area. And today we want to ask God to touch all those areas and move all that deception. Because he's the only one that can do it. You can have somebody sit and argue with you for hours on end and point out the logic and get all the proof. A deceived person won't see it. They just won't see it. They're deceived. You cannot intellectually. You have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have somebody to deceive, you can work with them and you can pray with them and you can confront them in their error and pray that the Holy Spirit will open their eyes. But that's a long process, and you can bring them in. God will eventually touch them. God honors believing prayer, people. You know, God honors believing prayer. It is the will of God that everyone should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, if you don't come to repentance, Jesus will cry, but he'll let you go. He'll love you, and he'll tenderly call you, and he'll send people into your path to bring you back. But if you are pig-headed and strong-headed and say, I'm going, he won't put a ring through your nose and drag you in. I have women come in and ask me to pray for their husbands who've gone into adultery, gone here and yonder. I said, all we can do is pray that God will convict them, but he won't put no ring in their nose and bring them back to you. God will not hold you captive against your will. Okay. Say, dear Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, I want to be free. I'm free to worship you. Free to serve you. Be obedient to you. Bear fruit to you. That your name might be glorified. Lord Jesus, I confess all the sins of my ancestors. I do repent and turn away. I confess my sin. And with your power, I will repent and turn away. Lord Jesus, cleanse me with your blood. Your word says, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I accept your cleansing. Lord, I break the curses that have come down through my family line from the sins of my ancestors. I break any curses spoken against me from any source in the name of Jesus. Your word says Jesus was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Your word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in condemnation, I shall refute. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I break all curses. All you religious spirits, all you Pharisee spirits, all you ecclesiastical spirits, all you Antichrist spirits, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. I bind you. And I cast you out. For it is written, Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Spirit of religious deception, spirit of lying, spirit of gossiping, spirit of anger and rage, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. I bind you. Command you to leave me now. For it is written, Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now. In Jesus' name. All you Pharisee spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Now, I just bind you and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. All Pharisee spirits, all spirits of deception in the name of Jesus. I bind religious deception. All religious spirits, denominational spirits, I bind you and command you to be gone. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. All ecclesiastical lying spirits, all Pharisee spirits in the name of Jesus, be gone. All spirits of deception, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of religious deception, I bind you. I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. All spirits of religious rejection in the name of Jesus. All come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every bit of you, come out in the name of Jesus. All of you, be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind every one of you. I bind all witchcraft spirits, all spirits of witchcraft, of religious rebellion and witchcraft and control in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave God's people. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. All religious deception, all religious control in the name of Jesus. I break the soul ties to the past, Lord. I break the soul ties to the past in the name of Jesus. And I call back the tattered souls in the name of Jesus. And I release all soul, foreign soul from these people in the name of Jesus Christ. All foreign soul, I bind you and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All foreign soul, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All religious soul in the name of Jesus Christ. I break all containers that contain part of these people's souls in the name of Jesus. Send forth the angels to break the containers, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now call back their soul, for it said you would lead them beside still waters and green pastures and restore their soul. Restore them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Open their eyes that they might behold you and they might behold Jesus, the true Jesus, another Jesus, the spirit of another Jesus. I bind you. I bind you, you false Jesus, you false spirit, you galvation spirits in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. I bind you, false salvation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. I loosen salvation to come forth in the name of Jesus. Salvation. Salvation. Come out in the name. Come out. False salvation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I loosen the salvation of the living God to come forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We praise you and we bless you, Lord. Spirits of rejection now, being rejected by the pastor in the name of Jesus Christ, being rejected and hurt by the pastor and by the elders. I bind the spirit of rejection, being hurt by the pastor and the elders in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind that spirit. I break its authority in the name of Jesus. Come out, rejection. Come out, all rejection, being hurt by the pastors, the elders, and the council. Come out in the name of Jesus. Being rejected, having to stand alone. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out, rejection, in the name of Jesus Christ. These are God's children. They are God's children. In the name of Jesus, they have been... Hallelujah. They've been called by name. They belong to Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, they're Jesus' children. Hallelujah, Lord. They're Jesus' brothers and sisters. They're children of God, adopted by the Spirit of God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Come out, all rebellion. All rebellion, all idolatry. Come out. Come out. Mary, Queen of Heaven, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. All Mariology spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus, I bind the Queen of Heaven. I bind celibacy in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind them in the name of Jesus and command them to come out. All religious spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of kung fu, martial arts, in the name of Jesus. All religious Hindu spirits that have come in through transcendental meditation, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All transcendental meditation, all yoga, all lamas in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out, all Lamar spirits, all religious spirits, all Lamar spirits. Come out, all Hindu spirits, all yoga spirits, in the name of Jesus. Come out, Kundalima. Kundalima, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to turn these people loose. Turn their minds loose in the name of Jesus. Turn their minds loose. Praise you, Lord Jesus. All witchcraft mind control, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to be gone. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. Go, all witchcraft, mind control, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, I loose you from there. Your assignment on them. You cannot communicate with any other spirit or draw power from any other spirit. I bind you and command you to be gone. In the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. And the hornets from heaven to drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. For he said he'd send the hornets before him to drive out the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Lusites and the Hittites and the Ammonites in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. All of you. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Send the hornets to drive you out in the name of Jesus. Loosen the spirit of fire and destruction upon you. Burn you out. Burn, devil. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. 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 Spirits of bulimia. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Bulimia that causes people to go on long fast. Bulimia and anorexia that causes people to go on long fast. Praise you, Lord God. Pseudo fast. Fast. Praise you, Lord. Anorexia. Spirit of anorexia. The religious spirit of anorexia. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, religion. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Celibus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. Glory, Lord. Hallelujah. I come against all infirmity spirits now. Spirits are called headaches in the name of Jesus. For Jesus bore all of our infirmities and all our sorrows and all our sickness and all our pain. I bind the infirmity spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. Migraine, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Tell you, come out of these people. Come out, all tension headaches, all migraine headaches, all fear headaches, come out in the name of Jesus. All sinusitis and hay fever, come out. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All asthma and bronchospasm, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All emphysema, come out. Emphysema and heart trouble, I bind you. Come out. Come out. All cardiac failure, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. All cardiac failure. Myopathy, come out. Heart attacks, come out. Strokes, come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus, all of you. Out, out, out. In the name of Jesus. All esophagitis, all gastritis, duodenitis, come out. Colitis, Crohn's disease. In the name of Jesus, come out. All colitis, come out in the name of Jesus. Proctitis, come out. Vaginitis, cystitis, come out. Come out. All spirits of human papillomavirus, come out. Come out. Come out. HIV virus, come out. Hepatitis viruses, come out. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, all of you. All spirits of chlamydia, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of vaginosis, come out. Giardia, come out. Bind all of you. Help in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord. Everybody stand up. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, just come down now, Lord. Let your spirit come down now, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, and fill all these vessels, Lord. Fill them full. Fill them with your spirit, Lord. With the real thing, Lord. They want the real thing, Lord. Give them the real thing, Lord. Not give them your spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus. No counterfeits. And come down now, Lord. The spirit of the Lord. The spirit of counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just fill them full now. Thank you for it, Lord. Flow down, river. Just flow, river. Flow. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Careful reading of the Word will show you where Paul corrected the churches. And he gave them an outline for holy living. And then he talked to them about carnality. In Corinthians, he says, there's strife among you. As pride has come in. Ecclesiastical spirit will make you real proud. So will the Pharisee spirit. Pride has come in. Everybody hold up their hands and praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.